Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, today is Maundy Thursday. What you might not know is that the word Maundy comes from the Latin for command. Maundy Thursday is called Command Thursday because on that night Jesus gave his disciples a number of commands. We heard in the Gospel reading Jesus giving them a new command, to love one another as I have loved you. And in the epistle, Paul passes on Jesus' command to celebrate the Lord's Supper, also called Holy Communion, in remembrance of Jesus. The Lord's Supper, which we will celebrate again soon, is the remembrance of the Last Supper, Jesus' final celebration of the Passover before his death. And the Passover itself was a commanded meal. As we heard in the Old Testament reading, it was commanded by the Lord to remember the Exodus, God's wonderful rescue of Israel from slavery in Egypt. So Maundy Thursday is a day of remembrance for Christians on many levels. Remembering is an important part of life, not just church life, but in general. Already from a very young age, we are taught to remember, aren't we? We learn to remember facts such as our times tables or events, including days of national significance. We're even taught to remember people and the things that are important to them, such as birthdays and anniversaries. But remembrance is much more than just recalling facts, figures, or dates. Remembering has an element of reenactment about it. When we remember something, we, in a sense, relive it. This happens even with communal events. For example, none of us here fought in World War I, but some of you may remember a relative who did. So when you participate in Remembrance Day every November, you are literally keeping memory alive. You are bringing things that were in the past into the present. I'm told that this was the understanding of the Jews when they were celebrating the Passover. Their celebration of the Passover was participating in God's salvation, even though that event took place hundreds of years before. In Jewish tradition, memory is not merely recall. It is a return to the past in which the past is relived and the listener becomes a participant in the event remembered. I mention this now because for most Christians over the centuries, they've had a similar understanding of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is not just a meal of remembrance at an intellectual level, but it is actual participation in Jesus' saving actions 2,000 years ago. We are commanded to do something, not just think about it. St. Paul too taught his church in Corinth that the Lord's Supper is not an ordinary meal. And so in our epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 11, we heard him explain this: "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" This is why the Lord's Supper is rightly a central part of the Christian faith. It's a reminder of those critical 3 days in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and summarizes everything that he has done for his people. In the Last Supper, Jesus established a new covenant, a new agreement with God's people. He renewed the promise that God loves us and wants to save us. It is also a reminder of that the old covenant based on animal sacrifice and blood in the temple in Jerusalem is over and is replaced by a new covenant of Jesus' blood in the holy places in heaven, as we see in Hebrews chapters 9 and 10. This new covenant, enacted once for all time and for all people, brings the forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, and life eternal in his presence. This covenant was sealed by the nailing of Jesus' body to the cross and the shedding of his precious blood, which we'll reflect on more deeply tomorrow morning. Finally, this covenant was validated by the resurrection of Jesus on the third day, which we'll celebrate on Easter Sunday. And so today we partake of the Lord's Supper in part, as Paul says, to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, to remind ourselves and each other of what Jesus has done for us, and to proclaim to others who don't yet know about Jesus that this gift can be theirs as well. But, as I said before, the Lord's Supper is much more than simply a remembering of the facts, a recital of those events long ago. The Lord's Supper is participation in Jesus' death and resurrection right now, here in the present. We take at face value Jesus' words, "This is my body and this is my blood." In a mysterious way, Jesus' body and blood are truly present in, with, and under the bread and wine. This is not a metaphor, but a reality. The bread and the wine are not merely symbols of a past event, but they are the same body and blood which was nailed to and shed on the cross. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives to us the very salvation we commemorate. His body and blood brings forgiveness of sins and new life with God. Just as the blood of the Passover lambs protected the people of Israel before the Exodus, so the blood of Jesus, applied to his people in the Lord's Supper, protects us on our journey through life. But wait, can you believe it? There's even more. Jesus' body and blood in the Lord's Supper are not just passive substances, but they are the living presence of Jesus. In this holy meal, Jesus is very much with us. He is with us as a host, feeding us with his own body and blood, but he is also with us as our high priest, bringing us into God's presence. In Jesus, in the Lord's Supper, heaven and earth intersect. All of these reasons are why Paul does not only talk about remembering the facts of the Last Supper. He doesn't simply repeat the words of institution handed down to him from Jesus, but he also teaches the Corinthians how to remember. He insists that they remember with reverence. Reading the next few verses from 1 Corinthians 11. "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world." Paul reminds the Corinthians with these verses that they are to remember the Lord with reverence because he is present with them. They are essentially on holy ground. They can't simply approach God as they want or celebrate as they feel. It is the Lord's Supper, not theirs. The Lord's Supper is also a sign of mutual love, care, and unity. The church is one body with Jesus as its head. And so in the Lord's Supper, Jesus feeds his body, the church, with his body in the bread to strengthen that fellowship. Since divisions in the church damage that fellowship, the Corinthians are to examine themselves before coming to the Lord's Supper and recognize what is causing them to break the fellowship, and so resolve their differences before they sin against Jesus' body and blood. Now, I realize that this is a lot to digest, especially on a Thursday evening. So what does it actually mean for us here today? Well, despite the differences in how we and the Corinthians celebrated the Lord's Supper, theirs was a full meal, whereas ours is a ritual one, the principles which Paul taught still apply to us. Like the Corinthians, we are still to remember with reverence. The manner in which we conduct the Lord's Supper remains a proclamation of the Lord's death until he comes, and the consequences of eating and drinking in an unworthy manner remain seriously. That's why in our church we clearly teach our understanding of the Lord's Supper, that it is not simply a memorial meal or that Christ is only with us spiritually. Rather, we teach that Jesus is bodily present in the meal, personally serving his people who are joined to him in baptism. If a person comes to church who is not baptized or who does not share our understanding of the Lord's Supper, we ask them to be considerate towards our fellowship and not to commune, although we're happy to offer them a blessing. This is not done because we're isolationist or judgmental of their beliefs, but because we are concerned for their welfare. We don't want those visitors to eat or drink judgment on themselves. We are not excluding them, but we are asking them to exclude themselves for their own good. We are encouraging them to judge themselves before they are judged by God. By acting this way, we are being true to ourselves and our understanding of God's word, and we are helping our visitors to be true to their own faith. In this way, no one feels pressured to participate in something to which they cannot give their wholehearted assent. This is also why we offer confession and absolution at the start of each service, and today we had a slightly different form of that. Confession helps us all to remember our sins and to bring them to God for forgiveness. Confession also encourages those of us who are in conflict or divided to seek reconciliation before we commune. Regular confession and absolution is not meant to burden our consciences, but to free them. It's not meant to make us wallow in our sins, but to actually get rid of our sins, to give our sins to God so that he can give us his forgiveness in exchange. Confession and absolution means that we can confidently come to the Lord's Supper and enjoy fellowship with him and one another, to celebrate all that God has done for us in his presence with a good conscience. It's important to remember that the Lord's Supper is not for the perfect, but for repentant sinners. And what if we have sinned against the body and blood of the Lord in the past? Well, there's forgiveness for that too. Note that Paul says in the reading that we will be judged by the Lord, not condemned. When we are judged for abusing the Lord's Supper, it is discipline meant to correct us. God's judgment at this time is for our own good, to make us aware of our sin so that we can ask him to take it away before it leads to eternal punishment. Dear friends, on this Maundy Thursday, I encourage you to remember with reverence our Lord's death and resurrection in your celebration of the Lord's Supper. Take his warning seriously to not eat or drink unworthily by coming unrepentant or with unresolved grievances against your brothers and sisters in Christ. Instead, resolve your differences, confess your sins, and receive forgiveness so that you can come with joy to the Lord's table. Remember all that he has done for you and rejoice in his wonderful love and mercy. Above all, enjoy him and his presence with you with thanksgiving for all that our Lord Jesus has done. By eating and drinking worthily, you will experience not judgment, but transformation. Your Lord Jesus will become a part of you and make you more like him, enabling you to love others just as he has loved you. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.